Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board. Join the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Lest I forget it, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone number dials directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today moral suicide, recruiting our children. Moral suicide. Have you thought about that? Have you considered where we are in our nation today with the morals and ethics and the values plummeting to a record low in our nation, while at the same time we're watching food famine, watching extraordinarily high gas prices, watching the what I believe is the preliminary introduction to World War III, as is taking place in the Ukraine with Russia. We're witnessing unusual catastrophic events, and yet there seems to be, ladies and gentlemen, an absolute blind push from the national level right on down to the local level to somehow, some way, demoralize, destroy the morals, ethics, and the values, starting with our children and up. It is the encouragement to have our children be involved in the, as I call it, the loose life, lost living, believing that somehow, some way, it's been embraced. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so each and every day based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. It is the truth book. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Jesus says to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then the Lord Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that makes all the difference in the world. May I remind us that we are in a society today that's not interested in truth, not looking for truth, not willing to face the truth, and allow the truth to penetrate their hearts and lives. This is the reason I go back to what is said by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that very thing taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the truth that is found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. And as former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint stated, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Ladies and gentlemen, we find today that truth is not adhered to, truth is not looked for or sought after. This is the reason I go back to quoting one that was a church historian, a church reformer, and a theologian of the 15th century, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's what should be the order of the day. And as we see these things taking place with the demoralization and the sexualization of our children and the recruitment of our boys and girls, sons and daughters and grandkids, every parent, every grandparent needs to listen up, listen well to this broadcast today. Get on your telephone call your friends, relatives, neighbors, invite them to join in the listening of this broadcast today. Participate in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand LaConda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about professional as well as the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work for its family-friendly environment that is at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing you and your family to be able to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God intended it. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, I'll say a few words, and then we'll take our first caller. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the condition that we're in America today. I need to set the stage for where we're going and what we'll be talking about today on this broadcast. We're talking about moral suicide. I believe we're committing moral suicide, moral, ethical suicide today. And the first scene that we see as that door is open for that presentation about moral suicide is watching the recruitment and the sexualization of our children. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah? Go back and read Genesis chapter 19. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the Sodomite lifestyle. We're calling it today the LGBTQ agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Sodomite lifestyle, and God hates the sin. And it was because of the sin and immorality of the men, from the youngest to the oldest, in Sodom and Gomorrah, that God destroyed the two cities. He rained down fire and destroyed the two cities and all the communities round about. So, ladies and gentlemen, how are we going to continue this as a society without expecting God's judgment? We have today a society that's lost its moral compass, I believe. How long will we continue to allow our children, our grandkids, to be indoctrinated, to be brainwashed and recruited by the Sodomite LGBTQ agenda? How long will we allow the American citizens, ladies and gentlemen, to have to bow and bend and tolerate what I am saying? You can challenge the numbers if you like. I believe we have less than 2%, maybe 2% of America that will identify with the Sodomite lifestyle. How long are we going to allow that 2% of society to dictate the morals, the ethics, and the values of a great nation called America? Ladies and gentlemen, the question I beg to ask and beg to be answered today, will you sit in silence while God's judgment falls? I believe America is at the lowest level, morally, ethically, faithfully, as it's been in the history of our great nation. We're going to talk about that today, invite your dialogue, your discussion, your evidence of what's happened. We're talking about now the LGBTQ Sodomite agenda. We're talking about the agenda of murder by way of abortion. We're talking about the agenda of forcing doctors and nurses to perform abortions and transgender surgeries, and the Biden administration is forcing that on doctors and nurses today that are having to do so or lose their license. We're watching today in our schools where the teachers are indoctrinating, recruiting, and forcing children, regardless of their background, morally, ethically, and spiritually, to embrace the Sodomite lifestyle. How long will we allow that to take place? In fact, going back to Elijah in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, he said, how long will you halt, H-A-L-T, that is waver, vacillate between two opinions? Either God is God or God is not. And that's the position that we need to take today. How long are we going to vacillate between the two opinions? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Hello?
Kenneth? Kenneth, go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood. Number one, you did it on point.
Good to have you with us today. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, sir. You know what? I'm going to tell you. I'm in my late 60s. I grew up in Jim Crow. But like I said before, if you destroy your history, you are doomed to repeat it. And Black Lives Matter don't matter. Those women that started it, they living in mansions. And they indoctrinating our kids. Okay, if you let a drag queen come in there and read stories to our kids in the library, why not let a preacher come in there also? But they won't do that.
That's right.
It is pathetic the way this country, this administration needs to be out. Nancy Pelosi definitely needs to be out. For real.
Brother, I'm praying every day that God will divinely intervene in these midterm elections. I believe 7 states are having midterm elections today across America. I am praying every day that God will place the right people in office to turn this ship around before it sinks. I believe unless God divinely intervenes, we're going to watch the progressive extending and the progressive pouring out of God's judgment on a nation. And Kenneth, I believe the primary reason that God is doing, will do that in America, is because of our failure as Christians, moral, ethical people, to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and stop it before the train wrecks. We need to, as Christians, moral, ethical, conservative people, we need to say enough is enough. We need to put those in office out that's willing to embrace this, including Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Chuck Schumer, and I could go on and on and on with the number that's standing for the sodomite lifestyle, standing for the murder by way of abortion, standing for the teaching of the critical race theory and the BLM, Black Lives Matter. And as you said, the Black Lives Matter, the organization doesn't matter because they're doing nothing but destroying the morals, ethics, and the values in our nation today. But all we can do, main thing we can do as Christians, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, say enough's enough, and depend on God, keep on staying, continue to stay in His Word, and trust Him.
And can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
The athletes, they refuse to, a bunch of them refuse to put that LGBTQ, whatever they call itself, the gays, put that on their uniform.
Well, yeah, you're talking about this, and you bring that up, so let me touch on that, Kenneth. I'm looking at a headline that says, Major Leaguers Refuse to Play Ball with Gay Pride Patch. It's dated June the 6th this year. It took only hours after they declined to wear the religiously objectionable pro-LGBTQ logo for the campaign to organize that appeared intended to coerce a small number of pro-baseball players involved to relinquish their faith or at least to violate it. It happened after several players at the Tampa Bay Rays declined to wear the pro-LGBTQ patch on their uniforms. The team was promoting Pride Month at the time. The ridicule of the players' faith-based decision came from across other lines. For example, the St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty. He called them out for their faith beliefs, calling their actions absolute joking. Another condemnation of the faith-based decision from the Preston Wilson, a former baseball player who launched a rant on social media about their refusal to put the patch on. Further in the article, it says he appeared to conflagrate playing on the same field as the LGBTQ individuals, but promoting the person's choice of lifestyle. In other words, what you're saying, we even have pro baseball and other major league teams that are now demanding that the Christians, the moral, ethical players, embrace and celebrate and promote the sodomite lifestyle. You're exactly right. We've come to a low level in America where there's the mindset that because it's the big corporate entities or because it's the large sports leagues, that somehow, some way, that we as Christians, that our faith doesn't matter. And again, Kenneth, it goes back to the basis that I've stated. We've probably got 2%, if that, across America that are involved in or identify with the sodomite lifestyle. Yet they're basically controlling the narrative in what is said and the actions that's done across America.
Yes, I'm telling you, it's sad. This administration has to get out.
Brother, you're exactly right. So all I can say is Luke 21:28 says, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I don't know about you or anybody else, but I'm ready, looking forward to that day we'll be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. Because as it seems now, we are being destroyed internally, and it's because of the lack of salt and light coming out of the churches and Christians, pastors in particular, unwilling to preach the truth of the gospel and warn of the dangers ahead. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and
thank
have
you.
A wonderful day.
Bless you.
Yes, sir. God bless you. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing good, doing good. I have always had this in my mind, as far as the this pride thing goes. If a 9-year-old child named, well, let's call him Jim, goes to his mom and says, Mom, I want a beer. Mom's going to say no. Goes to his mom the next day, hey, Mom, I want to smoke some cigarettes. Mom says no. Goes to his mom the third day, says, I want to do some meth. I want to smoke some meth, do some drugs. Mom says no. Fourth day, the child goes in there and says, Mom, I want to change my gender. Says yes. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
It's a narrative. It's a wrong narrative that will harm a child. As parents, we are to be their, we're supposed to be their parents. We're supposed to guide them into adulthood where they can make choices that are wise. This is nothing but pure foolishness by this agenda. Pure foolishness.
And it's an agenda, Jim. The thing that is so distressing to me, it's an agenda that seems to have caught grassroots across America. Our schools are involved in it right here in Duval County. We're eating up with the situation, and I believe it's time we ask Dr. Green, superintendent of school, to simply resign before our morals and ethics and values and our students are destroyed. We're going to talk about that more on tomorrow's broadcast or the next day. I've forgotten one day this week we'll be interviewing one of the school board members. We'll be talking about those events. But I believe it's time that as Christians we say enough is enough. I don't understand the rationale. Parents that take their kids to drag queen shows, parents that will embrace it. In fact, I read an article of a parent in the U.K., read an article about the parent said that the child showed evidence of being a different gender at 2 years old. So at 4 years old, the parent, the mother in particular, started the process with the medical world of having her son transgendered. It is amazing that we have that, what seems to be a total ignorance, but the problem is we got so far away from God, there's no spirituality, and I believe the Holy Spirit is withdrawn from multitudes. The Holy Spirit's not going to strive with man always, the Scripture says, and I believe there comes a time when the individual becomes so desensitized to anything that's called morals, ethics, and values that the Holy Spirit just withdraws and says, have your way, and I believe we're on the fast track for that today. In America. You touched on that. Let me touch on one other element, Jim, while you're on the line.
Okay.
Discovery Plus. Discovery Plus is releasing Generation Drag, produced by Tyra Banks. The show documents five young drag queens as they participate in drag shows. Dragonette, it's called, designed for LGBTQ kids 8 to 18 years of age. In celebration of Pride Month, Discovery Plus plans to release the 6 episodes, Discoveries, on starting June the 1st. Goes on to say many would consider it child abuse to encourage their children to dress in drag, question their gender, and sexually exploit them. The parents who celebrate their child's decision to become transgender should be ashamed, this article says, just as you just touched on, Jim. While normalizing the drag queen lifestyle, Generation Drag attempts to make the lifestyle appear glamorous by using young cast members, young children, to lure a young audience. The reality is that the show depicts transgenderism as the way a person is born, but then glorifies their lifestyle as a decision. It tolerates one thing, but accepts acceptance or affirmation is another. Obviously, Discover Plus is attempting to desensitize all America's youth by airing programs starring young people. Children and teens are being desensitized, but parents can do something about this hidden agenda if they will stand up, end quote. Jim, that's exactly what you're saying, and it is a sad commentary. In fact, some have asked the question very, very clearly and simply. One writer said, how can we sleep at night as Americans? And it goes on to say, Satan and his demons continue to rage against God and against God's children. They continue to wreak havoc and chaos in the world as spiritual warfare that's been going on since the fall of man will continue until Christ returns. Further in the article, it says, Christians have always been some of the most persecuted people in the world. Many have given their lives for Christ. It's a small price to pay as a reward for God's kingdom, having stood firmly. And that's what we need to do, Jim, is stand firmly against the evils and the wiles of the devil, because the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against wickedness, principalities and wickedness in high places. And that's talking about demonic warfare. And this is a demonic battle that we're faced with, Jim. Thank you so much for your call and your input. On target with what you're saying.
One more thing there. Just two verses come to mind there. The first verse is, raise them up in the way they should go, and they will follow. And then the second one is when Jesus is talking about the not corrupting the little ones there. It would be better that a millstone was cast about their neck. I don't agree with any parent that would look at a child other than a child and think that the child is responsible enough to make a worldly decision of that level. That's just not right on too many levels. Thank you for your time, Doctor.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call and for your input. I believe we have another call on the line. Go over the call, please.
Please.
Hi. Hi. My name is Terry. I'm Kenny's friend. And I was listening to what was being talked about this morning. And please, can I say, I blame the church a whole lot about what's going on in the world, too. Too many of us have let our weapons down. There were gays and stuff all this time. And I remember growing up in Harlem, and they would have shows about how men can impersonate women. But we have let them spirit, they coming up every day, harder and harder. And it's like the church don't have time to pray no more because they're on a business agenda. I've seen gays get transformed, and you can see that spirit lift. Perversity, I know God can heal you because I was a street child in Harlem. I know it's not too hard for God to deliver, set free, and put them on his side. I can remember when those things in me came screaming out. Those things are real. And Satan's biggest weapon right now is to make them feel like, no, I'm not really real. These are just those paranormal stories on TV. But I've seen it with my own eyes and say, well, that's the way I was born. Well, baby, you can be born again.
Amen. I like that. You're exactly right on target.
Yes. And also, too, with the way our children are going to suffer right now, with the way that the borders is going down, people from other countries molest our children worse than what is going on in America. And for them to do America the way it is, it's kind of scary. But as a saint of God, we got to keep our weapons polished and intense because the battle is coming. We can see the difference of how these spirits are, like a new league is coming up, but I believe it's going to be a change of the guards too. And I just can't give up on America. So
Amen.
Even with the saints that are falling away,
well, one of the things you touched on, if I could jump in and add to what you're saying, you touched on the fact that your opening statement that a lot of the problem goes back to the churches, and you're exactly right. One of the problems that we see that has taken place in the past couple of years, the government said churches closed. The government declared that the churches were non-essential organizations, and 99% of the pastors across America summarily closed the churches. As a result of that now, the churches, those churches that have opened back up, multitudes never opened back up. Those that open back up are having major, major difficulty filling the pews because the so-called Christians, so-called, notice I said, so-called Christians find it easy to sit on the couch, sit on the side of the bed, watch some video streaming service rather than fellowshipping with other believers. And the Bible is very, very clear we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the heathens do. The scripture is very clear in Hebrews text, but we find that taking place today. But what we're watching is the fulfillment of the Word of God and prophetic text, where there will be a great falling away, the apostatizing, and we're watching that apostasy taking place today. But the real Christian, the real church, may be minuscule in number, but it's still the real church. The problem again, 90% of the pastors, if not more, have refused to take a stand on moral, ethical issues. In fact, the latest headline, and I'm looking at one now, the latest headline, even the Mennonite Church has now passed a resolution embracing the sodomite lifestyle. Every mainline denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, et cetera, have embraced some form of the sodomite lifestyle. This headline says, Mennonite Church USA passes resolution committing to LGBTQ inclusion. Nearly 83% of the delegates meeting at a special assembly in Kansas City, Missouri, voted in favor of repealing the guidelines barring marriages for same-sex couples, while the resolution of the LGBTQ inclusion passed by a narrow margin. Including LGBTQIA people from the church is a listen. The Mennonite says that excluding the LGBTQIA people from the church is a rejection of God's joyous delight in the diversity of creation. Well, that's a lie, because God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. God didn't make a mistake and create one that grew up thinking he was a boy and he was really a girl, et cetera, et cetera. But getting back to the point at hand, you made the statement, and I must commend you for that, because that's what's needed today, is going to God and saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. He's the only one that can deliver the wicked mind and heart and save that person from the guttermost to the uttermost, according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Can I ask you a question? And this be
yes,
my
ma'am.
Last. Can the government, because I'm learning about more stuff now, but can the government dictate to us if every church got together and let the Holy Spirit just have his way, even if it wasn't the traditional church service, but when they first step foot in, because a lot of people don't go to church except for on Sundays. So if it started, even the first thing was to welcome the Holy Spirit in and just let him have his way with everybody in it, to everybody stretched out on the floor. They don't do that anymore.
Yes, well, first of all, our time's about out for the top of the hour news, but let me say this in closing before our news break. You're exactly right. The government cannot control what a church does, contrary to what many think. Many think the government can control what you say, what you preach, and what you teach from the pulpits and in the churches. Government has no authority with that. The government talks about separation of church and state when they do not want the church to involve itself in the government, but the government wants to always put its foot across the threshold and mind what the church is doing. They cannot do that authoritatively based on the written, revealed Word of God and based on the laws of the nation, United States of America today. So yes, and by the way, the word ecclesia is the word church. The church is the body of Christ, and the buildings that we meet in may be in a different locale, but the body of Christ has the authority of the Word of God to take a stand openly, freely at any time and present and lay claims to the promises in the Word of God and stand for truth, and that's the key to it. But thank you so much for your call. We'll be praying that God will continue to give victory each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news. 1 minute. We'll be right back. Don't turn your dials.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.